With a news update on 99.7 1450 WHTC, I'm Gary Stevens. Compared to its neighbor to the north, it was a far quieter organizational meeting for the Allegan County Board of Commissioners yesterday. The governing panel, shrunken down from 7 members to 5 last year due to census-related redistricting, kept Allen Republican Jim Story as its chairman for a 5th one-year term, and its predecessor, Hamilton Republican Dean Kappinga, was voted vice chair. While Story ran unopposed for re-election last November, Kappinga beat back a challenge from Democrat Don Dagendorf by just over 700 votes. The board also named former Commissioner Rick Kane to a vacancy on the 3-member Allegan County Road Commission. On Tuesday, the Ottawa County Board caused quite a stir at its organizational meeting by naming a new administrator and a new county health officer, changing the county motto, and retaining a Lansing-based law firm as the county's legal counsel. State Attorney General Dana Nessel's office announced a probe into the Ottawa County Board's actions that some claim violated Michigan's Open Meetings Act. It has been nearly a month since the disappearance of a Portage mother of 8 children, and police are working many angles to find answers.
According to authorities, Heather Kelly left her home on Saturday, December 10th at around 9 p.m. and had called nearly an hour later telling her kids she would be home shortly. Both the Portage Department of Public Safety and the Kalamazoo County Sheriff's Office are continuing to actively work the case, says Kalamazoo County Sheriff Rick Fuller.
The search continues, and we are doing a lot of different things to try to locate this person. We've also worked with Silent Observer, and they've come up with a $5,000 reward for any information that could lead to her discovery.
Kelly's vehicle was found abandoned at a business in Comstock Township near East Michigan Avenue and North Sprinkle Road the day after she went missing. Although suspecting foul play, Fuller remains positive that a resolution in the case will happen soon.
On top of that, we have been talking to a lot of different people. And we're getting closer, I believe, to having some sort of a conclusion, but there's a lot of work involved.
As police continue to work the case, Fuller is asking anyone with information possibly leading to the whereabouts of Kelly to contact the Kalamazoo County Sheriff's Office or Silent Observer. I'm Jerry Malik reporting.
Restaurant owners are warning prices will increase and staff will be released if Michigan's tip minimum wage rises to $11.73 on February 19th from the current $3.84. That increase is possible due to legal action over the move by state Republican lawmakers to adopt yet amend the One Fair Wage ballot proposal increasing the minimum wage in 2018. One Fair Wage President Saru Jarierman.
These changes are way overdue.
But Salt and Pepper Pub in Holland Township, owned by Mike Karras, claims that half of his servers might have to be laid off if the wages jump to nearly $12 an hour. Prices will go up as well.
You know, we kind of have a gun to our head. We don't have a choice at this point.
One of those staffers, Tracy Bowman, worries the higher minimum wage will be a pay cut as tips will no longer happen or will be drastically smaller. The Holland Farmers Market resumes tomorrow at the Haringa Holland Civic Center place.
The market opens its winter season from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Marketing coordinator Cara de Alvarez compares the summer market to the winter.
Well, it's definitely a little smaller than, you know, the market that you'll find in the middle of summer. But I think customers are always really still surprised at just the variety of products they can get.
The market will be open every first and third Saturday of the month through April. I'm Dan Evans.
The second of two Coffee with Council sessions is set for tomorrow morning from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. in the Haringa Holland Civic Center place. Residents and other stakeholders will have a chance to talk about the future of Holland with city council members and staff leaders. The first hour-long session was on Wednesday night ahead of council's biweekly business meeting, and city manager Keith Van Beek said that about 20 persons came to express their views.
What my conversations were with last night's with citizens were just nice conversations, quite frankly, about other things in the community or how they were doing and thank yous. I did not hear anything of a common theme that, boy, we're really missing the boat on this, or, hey, I really want to pay more attention on this, which is fine. But we certainly welcome and invite anyone from the community to come out. It's just a informal, inviting time for people to come in and just have conversations.
There will be light refreshments at the free session, And those who cannot attend in person but want to make their feelings known can email the city through a link in this story at WHTC.com. These two sessions, as well as a council retreat with city staff set for January 21st, also at the Holland Civic Center Place, will help Van Beek and his associates draw up a proposed fiscal 2024 municipal budget that council will vote on in mid-May. U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow will not seek a fifth six-year term in 2024. The Lansing Democrat, who became the state's first female U.S. senator, has been an elected official for the past 48 years. After being elected to the Ingham County Board of Commissioners in 1974 when she was only 24. Stabenow was elected to State House in 1978, won election to the U.S. Senate in 2000, defeating Republican incumbent Spencer Abraham, and the GOP has not had any Michigan representation in the world's most exclusive club since. Democratic Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin and Debbie Dingell have already expressed interest in succeeding Stabenow. Governor Whitmer claims that her husband, Dr. Mark Mallory, had to retire early from his dentist practice due to threats being made over Michigan's COVID-19 health protocols. On the X-Files podcast hosted by journalist David Axelrod, Whitaker says Mallory had planned to work another 7 or 8 years before deciding to make what she calls a huge sacrifice in retiring. The East Lansing Democrat used the interview to express the importance of prosecuting those who make threats. North Dakota Air Force veteran Mark Lindquist is in New York City to sleep outside. It's all in the name of Operation Sleep Out to raise awareness and support for Ukrainians and Ukrainian refugees who are going through the winter either homeless or without electricity. Lindquist told Midwest Communication Station in Fargo. He hopes that message goes viral.
The Donbas is the same latitude as International Falls. But even more than that, even more than the cold weather and the fact that Ukrainians don't have power, these guys are laying in a trench holding the front lines of freedom. And it is just my opinion as a patriot, as someone who loves our country and the freedom that I was given as a gift, as an adoptee to our country. It just, these people are doing what we would be doing as American soldiers and veterans if the Ukrainians weren't.
He's camped outside the Good Morning America studios and would like to have more people join him. Michigan State University football player Kerry Crump is pleading guilty to misdemeanors in the fight inside the Michigan Stadium tunnel on October 29th. Crump was the only one of seven MSU players charged with a felony, which was dropped under his deal with prosecutors. His record will be cleaned up if he completes probation. He will send a letter of apology to Jamon Green of the Michigan Wolverines as part of the deal. It appears that he had swung his helmet at that Michigan player. Crump has been suspended for 8 games in 2023 by the Big Ten. While MSU was fined by the Big Ten for its players' actions, no U of M player was disciplined, and the school received only a reprimand from the conference. In the apparent never-ending presidential election cycle, any move made in Washington is being seen through the prism of the 2024 election. The dispute over who will be the next speaker of the House has presidential overtones. Some political pundits feel that this is a referendum over the direction of the Republican Party, with a specter of a run for the White House by former President Donald Trump over the GOP, 7-term Congressman Bill Heising of Zealand.
You have some folks who are quote-unquote never Trumpers. You have some that are the quote-unquote always Trumpers. Then you've got a lot of folks, which frankly I think are most folks in between. They really, really like the process. They didn't like the circus. They didn't like the Russia hoax, but they also didn't like some of the tweets and some of the tone and tenor. I think what we're seeing, Dan, though, is that this is not an exclusive thing for him anymore. You are going to have people like Ron DeSantis and others, Nikki Haley and people like that, who are more than just exploring. I mean, they are actively going into this presidential race and this primary very much with an eye towards running, regardless of whether he is in or not. And so he still is a powerful voice with some. And I think that's, you know, him weighing in yesterday was really aimed at that smaller subset, the Freedom Caucus, the House Freedom Caucus guys, which, by the way, the majority of the House Freedom Caucus folks are actually supporting Kevin McCarthy, interestingly enough, including some very conservative, notorious names and to some. And so I think he's still an important part of that discussion that happens for many. but it's not exclusive.
A barred owl that has been cared for by North Sky Raptor Sanctuary in Interlaken will be released into the wild today. The owl was named Ben before rescuers learned it was a female bird and was hit by a vehicle December 5th in Benzie County. North Sky Executive Director and co-founder Caitlin Bonnet says Ben passed all of her tests to be released, and about 70% of animals nationwide taken to a rehab clinic die there. Meanwhile, Oscar, the black-footed cat, has died at Grand Rapids John Ball Zoo at the age of 16. The animal started to get lethargic over the New Year's holiday weekend and was euthanized after illness was found in his intestines. He was the second oldest black-footed cat in North America and had been at the zoo since 2007 after being born at the Omaha Zoo in 2006. Oscar fathered a couple of kittens in 2008 and then became the grandfather of the three kittens in 2021. In high school basketball last night, Bridgman's girls were winners at Fenville 30-21. This evening, catch girls-boys doubleheader action on our stations. At 5:10 p.m., Greg Chandler will bring you coverage of the Zeeland West and Zeeland East Twin Bell on 99.7 1450 WHTC. While at 5:40 p.m., it's Eric Van Swall calling Saugatuck's contest in Martin on the Lakeshore's 92.7 The Van. Other such doubleheaders include Howland Christian at Fruitport, Granville at West Ottawa, Allendale at Hamilton, and Black River at Galesburg Augusta. Howland's girls are at Mona Shores with the boys meeting in the Dutch Dome, and Fenville's boys are at Bridgman. Grand Valley State split a pair of games in Kenosha against Parkside last night. Emily Spitzley tossed in 31 points as the visiting Lakers won the women's opener in overtime 83-73. Rasheed Bello had 36 points as the host Rangers took the men's nightcap 81-72. GVSU's teams are in the Chicago suburb of Hammond, Indiana tomorrow afternoon for action against the host Purdue Northwest Pride. In state major college basketball this evening, Western Michigan is at Toledo, Detroit is at Wright State, and Oakland is at Northern Kentucky. On the ice tonight, the Red Wings welcome the Florida Panthers to Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, while the Blackhawks home to the Arizona Coyotes at the United Center in Chicago, and the Griffins host the Texas Stars at Van Andel Arena in Grand Rapids. NBA play this evening finds the Detroit Pistons in San Antonio against the Spurs, and the Chicago Bulls in Philadelphia against the 76ers. Behind 27 points from Trevlin Queen, the visiting Fort Wayne Mad Ants prevailed over the Gold last night, 129-108. Grand Rapids has a Sunday afternoon contest against the visiting Maine Celtics at Van Andel Arena. Get the latest news anytime at WHTC.com.